I feel like Forrest Gump. Ice cream, Lieutenant Dan. Ice cream, Bluebell. Seth Bluebell brought up the brand new flavor, unveiled it today. Pecan pie.
Delicious. What is it, pecan pie?
Pecan pie. Mm-hmm. Very tasty. It is described as a rich brown sugar ice cream with roasted pecans and pieces of flaky pie crust mixed in with a pecan pie filling. It is outstanding.
So it's different than maple pecan or whatever the normal. What's the normal pecan ice cream?
Butter pecan.
Butter pecan.
Yeah, it's different. Because it's got
the actual little pie crust in there.
Little pie crust in there. Little pecan pie filling. Very, very good. Thumbs up. I'm guessing it's in the stores maybe today where you can get. We got a ton of it up here at the station. So thumbs up to Bluebell blessing us with the pecan pie ice cream. Very, very tasty. Thank you. Here was Joe Espada yesterday. This is before the game yesterday, before the 8-7 win over the New York Yankees. Joe Espada explaining everything that went on with Frambergate, with the what the Astros are calling a miscommunication between Framber Valdez and catcher Cesar Salazar in the Yankee game on Tuesday night. A lot of conjecture, speculation that it was intentional, that Framber meant to throw the pitch that the catcher didn't call. A lot of people saying that. Here was Joe Espada explaining what went on when he called the two of them into his office after the game.
So yesterday I obviously met with Salazar and Valdez once I finished talking to you post-game. And I really wanted to get down to, number one was the asking him to step off. I wanted to know about the thought process, what, you know, which pitch, who was calling which pitch and what. And I wanted to hear from both of them at the same time. I wanted to have a conversation face-to-face because I wanted to hear the truth about the whole entire thing that happened in that inning. I have a lot of respect for both players, and I truly believe that when we have these conversations, that they're honest, and I want them to tell me the truth, and I want them to tell you guys the truth once they, you know, talk to the media. So I don't want to get into specifics, but I do want to say that I want to put this behind us. There's a lot of speculations and stuff that is being sent on media, which I don't read, but they make me, you know, people tell me what's going on, and I don't like it. A lot of that stuff is not true, but I understand the environment and the what comes with it, right? So I appreciate if we can just get past this and go back to, you know, baseball.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Listen.
What do you think?
The thing about that is that regardless of what actually happened, by virtue of him insisting on having a meeting where both parties were present and one guy couldn't say something that the other guy might object to, whatever.
And we're going to get to the bottom of this.
We're going to get to the bottom of this, which turned out to be nothing at all. Like, we do this after every game. Usually I... whenever there's any kind of a miscommunication or something, we bring him into... Well, two outfielders collide. Do you bring him into the office afterwards so you can be sure everybody's telling the truth about what they saw? What exactly happened?
Whether Yordan meant to run over Jeremy Pena last year. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing is so damn weird. And Framber is at the center of something that's really, really weird in a year where he's looked more increasingly like the erratic version of himself. We'll never know exactly whether it was just simply not hearing it. This whole thing, I think people have already, in this very short span of time, people are so fixated on the actual beaning or accidental cross-up or whatever it was, that they've almost forgotten that Framber ignored Salazar
two pitches ago.
Like almost being left out of the conversation. That in and of itself, that alone would have merited a conversation with the manager after the game.
Yes.
So it's not just an isolated, hey, Framber threw a sinker when Salazar was asking for a curveball or thought he was asking for a curveball. It's the facial expressions afterwards. And it's the fact that Salazar tried to get him to step off the mound on a grand slam pitch the two pitches before.
That is the one pass I wanted to give to Joe Espada in listening to that cut at the beginning. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He had multiple things he needed to get to the bottom of with these two guys. Because he even said in his post-game press conference, because he didn't talk to those two guys till after he met with the media. Espada went met with the media, then came back to the clubhouse and pulled those two guys into his office, was the sequence of how things went on. And if you recall, there was a cut from Espada after that game when he was asked about not the mix-up on the pitch, but the home run, the grand slam, where Fromber waved off Cesar Salazar. Espada was sitting in his press conference saying, I haven't talked to anybody, but I had a couple of the coaches come up in the dugout and say something about it. I haven't seen it. I haven't had a chance to talk to the guys yet. So he had multiple things he had to hash out. I thought he came out firing in that thing. Like the first 15 or 20 seconds, I'm like, okay, we're going to get some stuff here. And then by the end, he's blaming the media. There's false reports out there. He's not specifying which false reports. Yeah, he's mealy-mouthing by the end of it. I was so disappointed with how that thing ended. And by the end, I'm like, you might have made it worse. Because there's no clarity on anything at the end of this.
Like when you say something's out there and you're including social media in it, at any given point, somebody probably said something about how those two were responsible for the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
It's social media.
Yeah.
So saying there's false stuff on social media is almost like saying social media exists.
Yeah.
You know that's out there. So I don't know if he said social media or not, but he said he said
false reports.
False reports, whatever it might be.
Yeah,
I think because you can't say definitively what happened. Yeah. You can talk about what it looks like happened. So, I can't say definitively that Fromber ignored the call and threw whichever pitch he wanted to pitch. But I know that however that whole sequence of events went, from the moment that Salazar was trying to get Fromber to hold up the operation until two pitches later, there had been a grand slam and Salazar had been hit in the chest with a sinker when he was expecting a curve.
Right.
And there's something there.
Yeah.
Don't try to tell me that there's nothing to that. And the report from Michael Schwab that players confronted Fromber in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that it was testy in there. It was contentious in the clubhouse. Yeah, no doubt. This is what I would boil it down to. Because I believe there is a scenario where... asking if Fromber meant to damage Cesar Salazar and asking if he was just trying to make a point or expressing anger by ignoring another pitch are two different questions. Because the answer to the, was he trying to do something to Salazar? The answer to that can be no. While the answer to, was it intentional what he did in ignoring a pitch call? That can be yes. Those two worlds exist.
You can be in the heat of the moment and pissed off and you do something. It's like when you shove somebody. You're angry, you shove somebody. You don't mean for them to fall down the stairs and break their neck.
That's exactly right.
You know, you're not thinking that in the moment.
That's exactly right.
Did you ask them to stand at the top of the stairs? Perhaps.
Right.
But that's all speculative, Your Honor. Yeah.
But if... Sounds very specific. If the question is, was there intent on Fromber's part, and your stance on this is no, then I would say, okay, you tell me who's got the bigger burden of proof on them. Somebody arguing that Fromber didn't intend to do that. It was truly just a mix-up, he was looking for a curve and I threw a sinker. Oh, oops, sorry. Or was there some anger and intent with Fromber? I'm gonna make a point here and throw another pitch. Or I'm just angry and I'm going to do it. You tell me who the burden of proof is on. The person that is backing Fromber in this, that there was no intent? Or the person that points out that Fromber has been a head case for the last 6 weeks, both with baseball things and off-field things, that he's not backing up bases, that he's leading the league in pitch clock violations, that he's waving off his catcher and giving up grand slams, that numerous times this, in the last month, that he's questioning the positions of outfielders in games that he loses because the ball gets hit to a certain part of the outfield, commenting about he's not getting any rest between innings because the offense is so bad. He's made those comments. Comments on the very play where he wasn't backing up home plate, he takes accountability for it while pointing out all the other things that happened on these plays that he can't control. You tell me what the more likely scenario is with a player whose recent rap sheet has all of those things on it.
Right. It's that Fromber was it lost his mind momentarily. Yeah. Or at least over the course of four straight sinkers. Fromber's in that state of mind where he would have thrown a sinker every single pitch for the rest of the night almost. Like where you're just like, you know, when you get belligerent, when a kid gets hit with detention and he's like, fine, no, give me more.
Yeah.
Give me more.
Yeah.
10 nights of detention.
Breakfast
fine.
Club.
Give me more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, look, we're talking about a player.
You're Judd Nelson.
We're talking about a player that we've talked about having a good version and a bad version of him for 5 years now. Who showed up, good Fromber or bad Fromber? Like that. This is woven into the Fromber experience. Now, he settled it down nice for a couple of years there, but for whatever reason, he's off the reservation now, man. Like he is doing things. If this were the real world, you'd look at this guy saying he's trying to get fired from his job. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, definitely trying not to get invited back in free agency or something, which is very self-sabotaging because you should be putting your best foot forward. And going so remember look when you look at Correa in his final year, he was the picture of leadership and everything.
He was
very conspicuously so.
Yeah.
He was going out and mound visits and pep talks and everything else. Look at what a great leader he is in his free agency year.
Yep.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, man. It's marketing. Have y'all mentioned Arrigetti, LOL? Now why are you putting an LOL after that? There's nothing funny about Spencer Arrigetti going on the injured list for 15 days with some sort of elbow inflammation on his throwing arm. That's not funny at all.
I've gotten so numb inside when it comes to the Astros injury report. I think I've gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm like Nick Saban stepping over the injured player.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, we got a job to do. Yep, there's going to be injuries along the way.
Yeah,
okay, cool. Talk to me in 15 days and we'll find out about Spencer Arrigetti.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Astros back at it tonight with the Yankees. Try to win a series tonight. 6:40 first pitch for the Astros tonight. Speaking of 6:40, I believe shortly thereafter is when we officially get regular season football, baby.
Amazon, baby.
Yeah, Amazon.
I'm going to watch some football.
It's NBC tonight. NBC
it's
gets,
NBC?
It's NBC.
Oh.
Yep, NBC gets
what's
the opener.
Tomorrow? What's it going to be on tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow night's YouTube.
Yes.
Not YouTube TV, but just YouTube,
In Brazil.
They're going to stream it. They're going to stream the game on YouTube. So whether you have it doesn't matter whether you have YouTube TV or not. You can watch the game on YouTube.
Yeah, and that's the Chargers and the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Chargers and the Chiefs in Sao Paulo.
Big thing about that they're excited about is that because the worldwide audience is going to be able to see football, American football, without any hiccups or anything compared to – you don't have to pay for a streaming service or anything. Yeah, yeah. I say without any hiccups, without having to pay for it.
Yeah. That's if we learned anything about the streaming services, there might be a hiccup or two. So we'll see.
I think YouTube, is this the first game that's been on YouTube, the social media channel?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
I mean, obviously it's on YouTube TV already, but
just
this is right there on YouTube.
Yeah. So that'll be tomorrow. Tonight, Dallas at Philly. Okay, will Jerry Jones' prophecy about his Michaelis Cowboys, will it come true tonight? That will be up next.